What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do we have a whole lot cooking for the next 2 hours? We have an update anchor at CBS Sports Radio that included something very interesting in that CBS Sports Radio update over the weekend. We have Terrence Oglesby stopping by, Field of 68. He'll recap the NCAA tournament and the dominant run of the UConn Huskies, the team of college basketball for the last 30 years.
Nope.
And then, in the final hour of the show, we'll be joined by Matt Jones, who is the great host of Kentucky Sports Talk Radio. And there's a lot of other things we need to get to. But this is how much of a sucker I am right now, where I am fully locked in on the NFL draft, and I am in a mental pretzel over what my team is going to do with the third overall pick, the six-time Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots, who are now one of the jokes of the NFL. And I'm at the point where now I kind of expect that they're going to trade back and get like three future first round picks and someone else is going to take the third quarterback off the board. Because I fully believe Caleb Williams is going one and then the Washington Commanders are going to select Jaden Daniels with the second pick. Now, we did have Daniel Jeremiah on the NFL Network about a month ago. And he was like, don't rule out Drake May. Drake May is still in play for the Commanders at two. And in his mock drafts, he still has Drake May, at least in the last one I saw about a week ago, going to the Commanders at two. But everybody else, until this next author and this next writer, this next scribe that we'll get to in just a second, has Jaden Daniels going too. So I'm in the line of thinking that the Patriots probably trade back. If they don't trade back, then they'll take a quarterback. And if somehow, and this dream is done, I personally would rather have Marvin Harrison Jr. over Drake May. But if that's a decision, whether it's McCarthy or whether it's Drake May or Marvin Harrison Jr., it doesn't matter what I think they should do. What they will do is they'll take the quarterback. So pretty much it's either two options. One, trade back, or two, you take a quarterback, and I'm leaning that one is going to be the way that this plays out. But Evan Silva, who has a good following on social media, and he is the man behind EstablishTheRun.com, in his latest mock draft, and I'm just looking at this, all the headline says is Silva 2024 Mock Draft 1.0. So there is no catchy headline. You're not trying to stand out. You're not trying to use clickbait and generate some clicks here. But he had the easiest headline to make. And it's that he has the Patriots selecting Jaden Daniels at three for one specific reason. So I'm reading this mock draft. And I saw it aggregated at first. And it was a headline. And sometimes you see the headline and you're like, all right, let's see if it really matches what the headline reads. And anytime now on Twitter, and I'm on it all the time, but you got to take everything you see with a grain of salt. Because since now everyone's verified, I have no clue what's true or not. But I did my vetting here. And I've read the actual mock draft. So with the first pick, he has Caleb Williams going to the Bears. Third-year GM Ryan Poles resets his franchise time clock by drafting the quick-twitch improviser Williams after bailing on slow processor Justin Fields across three college seasons. Williams banked a 93-13 touchdown-to-interception ratio as a passer in addition to 27 rushing scores. He's a born playmaker. All right. That kind of fits the narrative that everyone's pushing. Then at number two, the Commanders take North Carolina quarterback. Come on, Adam Peters! in Drake May. Loosely comparable to Bills quarterback Josh Allen, May is an aggressive drop-back thrower and high production scrambler who averaged 8.4 yards per pass attempt and scoring 16 rushing touchdowns over his final two seasons as a Tar Heel. Tar Heel. The Commanders allegedly sent Sam Howell to Seattle for virtually nothing because Howell and May are tight with their UNC connection, and Washington didn't want the dynamic in its quarterback room. All right, we've heard that, right? Daniel Jeremiah even said that on our show. But it doesn't give you a reason why they passed on Jaden Daniels. Because regardless of what I want to have happen, I think I've read more mock drafts than anybody. And almost everybody expects Jaden Daniels to be the pick at number two. So then you go to number three. And here are the New England Patriots. And if you really want to see me die on the spot, if it is draft night and I am sitting on my couch and I get Williams 1 and Drake May 2 and the Patriots pass on Jaden Daniels, whether they trade the pick or they take another quarterback, there will be a noise complaint from my apartment. Because I will basically be screaming and I will be cursing that the police will be called and people will think that something is terribly going wrong. But here's the piece of information that made me say, ooh, ah, and now I'm thinking Daniels is actually in play for my New England Patriots. Once again, from Evan Silva, who is now my favorite NFL writer at the great website of EstablishTheRun.com, with a following of over 220,000 people on X. He's also followed by Odyssey Sports. That's our company. Gotta be credible. Gotta be reliable. Gotta have sources. Gotta be plugged in. He's gotta be the football god of mock drafts. Patriots, LSU, Jaden Daniels. Here's the explanation. 2023 Heisman winner. Daniels led the nation in both yards per pass attempt, 11.7, and yards per rushing attempt, 8.4. 31-year-old, 15 journeyman, Jacoby Brissett. What a way to, to put it out there. Would be New England starter if the season began today. Now here's the nugget. Daniels is rumored to be intent on playing for New England after Daniels meeting with Washington didn't go as smoothly. Bum, ba-dum, bum. Ba, ba-dum, bum. Ba-da-dun, dun, da. I don't know if that information is true. I am going to hope and pray and implore the sports gods. Sports gods, I'm down on one knee. Pretty please. You can't even tell I'm down on one knee when I'm sitting on camera. It looks the same as when I'm sitting. But I'm down on one knee. Sports gods, please. Let Evan Silva's report be true. That reportedly, Jaden Daniels had a little contentious meeting with the Commanders, and it didn't go smooth. Oh, I love that. I love that. I may be taking the bait right now, and I may have egg on my face 3 weeks, but I don't care. This is all new to me. This is real, and this is spectacular, for crying out loud. This is awesome.
Don't use that line.
I now know what it's like to be a football fan of losers. I know what it's like to be Stu. I know what it's like to be Santer when he was cheering for the Jets. I know what it's like now to be a football fan of a bunch of losers. Because I get excited about mock drafts and information about mock drafts. And even though it goes against my rule that I've had for over 20 years, which that rule's always, don't believe anything you read this time of the year, I want to pretend the Patriots getting Jaden Daniels is real. I want to pretend that my team still has a shot of getting Jaden Daniels. I want to envision a world where I'm screaming and cheering and going nuts for Jaden Daniels in the fall. And now I have something for the first time in months that makes me think, you're telling me there's a chance. And that's Adam Peters. Big bully Adam Peters. Maybe not having a great meeting. Maybe making sure some things didn't go as smoothly as people thought with the Commanders. And I know there was some report a few weeks ago, I don't know if it's true or not, and I'll preface it that way, where Daniels a few years ago, I think it was via Brandon Ayuk, like set up Adam Peters, who's working for the 49ers at the time with Daniels, and he didn't like give him a great review or have a good draft grade, something like that on him. So maybe there's a little prior history here. I don't know. All I know is that Evan Silva, the football draft evaluating God, that's all I'm going to say he is right now, is saying, he's heard from a little birdie. Little birdie's telling him that Daniel's meeting with the Commanders didn't go smooth sailing.
Get your steak knife ready. We have another bet coming.
Well, why am I? I'm not betting this.
All right.
Why would I bet this?
I mean, you're getting so excited. There's no chance that this is going to happen. And let me just tell you this one very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Loserville, because here's what happens in Loserville.
Yes.
Let me just get you acclimated to our world that Stu and I have lived in, okay?
Well, hold on. Why is Samter telling me how to get acclimated to this world? He now roots for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I've lived in Loserville for 42 years before I changed teams.
Yeah, but you're like fraudulent.
Yeah, no. I might be fraudulent now.
You know what
now?
I learned about you? Listen. When there are tough times, when things get tough, you run away.
Yeah, dude.
You're not loyal.
I've been a Jets fan. Things have been tough for 30 years, okay?
I don't care.
So
there's family members that you hate for 30 years. You still see them.
I saw my team get the first overall pick, take Keyshawn Johnson, and then win one game the next year and get the first overall pick again and trade it, which could have been Orlando Pace. So don't get me started on Loserville and running away. I've been in Loserville for 30 years. You've been in Loserville for a year and a half, and you're already whining.
No, it's been three long years.
Wait till you have 30 years of Loserville.
Here's the difference. Two things. Here's the difference. There's two things, difference between you and me. My team's won 6 championships. I am fully cognizant that my team was in the penthouse for 20 years, and I'm going to be stuck in the outhouse for a while. I'm not complaining about losing. If my team doesn't win a Super Bowl ever again, my team will still win more than your team can ever dream of. I get that. I'm not complaining, but I still aspire for my team to one day be great again. And I do want to see Jaden Daniels as the quarterback.
Sure. So here's where I'm going to welcome you to Rumorville, to Loserville.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in Loserville.
What, jump on the Chiefs bandwagon? Is that what you're going to tell me to do?
No. When you're in Loserville, because I did it for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in Loserville.
How old are you again?
43.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
I was a Jets fan since 1987.
Since you were a little man.
Yeah, since
little
I was boy. Like 7 years old. So let's say 39 years of Loserville, 37 years of Loserville.
Yeah.
What happens in Loserville, and Stu can attest to this.
Stays in Loserville.
It's all about hope. You get hope, mm-hmm. you get hope, you get hope, you get hope, yep. and then your soul gets crushed.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Loserville. You're in Loserville.
Go Tigers.
You're going to get your hopes up for Jaden Daniels. You're going to get your hopes up for Jaden Daniels. You're going to get your hopes up for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And there is a 0% chance that you're going to get Jaden Daniels because you're in Loserville. By the way, let me just read you this tweet.
And then guess what? Then I'm all in for Drake. All in for Drake.
Let me read you this tweet from JPA Football with their 250,000 followers. Rumors.
Aggregators, quote, though.
There's no truth to the recent rumors of Jaden Daniels wanting to play for the Patriots over the Commanders and that he'd be happy to play with whoever drafts him.
Who's that coming sources. From?
Says per sources.
You're now giving me sources from an aggregator? Nothing against JPA Football. They pump out our content all the time. They don't got sources. Come on.
Hey,
yeah, you know what?
There are sources.
I have sources too. All right? I have sources that tell me I'm going on a date with Beyonce tonight. Evan Silva, JPA football. Who are we going to believe here?
How about Colin Cowherd? He said he's hearing right now that the Commanders are going to draft Jaden Daniels.
Well, now I feel better because he's wrong a lot.
There you go.
Get your hopes up.
And then welcome to the soul-crushing demise of Loserville. Welcome to Loserville. You're going to hate it.
I'm going to have JD with me. JD on draft night. And I'm not talking about Jaden Daniels. I'm talking about Jack Daniels.
Listen, if you want to get out of Loserville, you got to do better than Jack Daniels.
No.
I'll get you
no.
some McCallan.
No. Because one way or another, I will at least have JD. Jaden Daniels or Jack Daniels on draft night. If they draft Jaden Daniels, we got two JDs. And Jack Daniels will be used in a celebratory way. If they don't get Jaden Daniels, four fingers going in that glass. And we're pouring that Jack Daniels all the way up. My apartment's going to be liquid by the end of the night. It's just going to be filled with Jack Daniels all over the place as I'll drink my sorrows away. All right? Let me live a little bit. I haven't taken the Jaden Daniels bait at all in this process. Let me have fun. I'm a fun human being.
That's not how Loserville works.
You're trying to be a miserable curmudgeon.
That's not how Loserville works.
You're trying to rain on my parade.
Loserville is not fun. You can't have fun in Loserville.
All right. Well, enough of you. You just try to ruin every party. Stu, should I take the bait here or no? Should I believe this stuff or no?
You shouldn't take the bait because you're going to set yourself up for a lot of disappointment. That's just I've been there with drafts. I've thought guys were going to either drop to the Raiders or they were going to take the guy I want and they take someone else. Or sometimes they even take the guy I want and he sucks. Like, it's never good.
By the way, the last time my team's been in this position, and this was a young Zach Gelb, you know who I really wanted? Vernon Golston. And I was so upset when Samter's loser Jets took Vernon Golston. The Patriots trade back and they ended up getting Gerard Mayo. Whatever happened to that guy? What, did he coach the team now? No, he was a pretty damn good linebacker, too. So, but why should I listen to you two losers in football? What do you guys know about winning? You guys don't know anything about winning.
No, we know a lot about losing.
I know, but I know about winning. I know how to build a winner. I am a winner. I can't listen to you two guys with your loser football teams, the Raiders, Samter, afraid to even wear Jets gear anymore because now he's a Chiefs fan. And by the way,
remember bringing my Mark Sanchez jersey?
Fraud. You told Mike Pinnell that you were going to get that mock Chiefs tattoo and then you officially be welcome into Chiefs Kingdom. You had an out and you're afraid to get the mock tattoo. You haven't done it yet. So you can't even consider yourself a Chiefs fan yet. Can't do it. Won't do it. Won't allow it.
We'll see.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Jaden Daniels coming to beautiful Foxborough, Massachusetts. Ooh, this is going to be wonderful. Jaden Daniels, my guy, Jaden Daniels, going to be better than Lamar Jackson. He's going to be better than Lamar Jackson. Going to be better than Josh Allen. Going to be better than CJ Stroud. Maybe he'll be just as good as Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. That would be me really taking the bait.
My Mahomes?
What was up with your voice there? What up, Mahomes?
Puberty.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Terrence Oglesby will join us next. And coming up in 20 minutes, there is an update anchor here at CBS Sports Radio who put a very questionable thing in his CBS Sports Radio update. We will get to that with the infinity amount of time that we have on this show today. We will get to that in about 20 minutes.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Terrence Oglesby played at Clemson. He does a great job now. I watch him all the time in the field of 68. We know UConn back-to-back national championships with their victory last night. It's Dan Hurley's world, and we're just living in it. Terrence Oglesby joins us right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Terrence, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I've been well. I got one more game, one more home game for the Charlotte Hornets before we close out the season. So I just walked into the Spectrum Center right now. Still kind of buzzing off the performance that I saw from UConn yesterday. And I think what you said, it's Dan Hurley's world. We're all just living at it. couldn't be more perfectly put. I mean, the guy controls everything college basketball right now in my mind.
Now, I hate to say when a team wins a championship, like when you watch them at times, they could be boring, but I can't really put my finger on really anything with UConn that I'm blown away about throughout this tournament. And then you look up and you're always like, wow, I feel like they could play better. And they're still kicking everyone's ass, winning by over 20 points per game.
It's unbelievable, really. And I think it's just the consistency in their approach. Like what they go about every single possession the exact same way. They're unselfish. Their offense, what Dandy Hurley does on offense is, quite frankly, absolutely amazing, because they don't run offense to get to the second side. They run it to get to the third side of the offense, and it makes it really difficult to even be able just to keep up with all of their actions. And then, out of nowhere, they'll throw a quick hitter to a guy that's slipping a screen like they got for the dunk when Samson Johnson passed to Kiriban there in the second half. He reads everything incredibly well. That team was incredibly unselfish, and it's one of the best teams I've ever seen, might be the best team I've ever seen. The reason I say that is because, Zach, like, they don't rely on one guy getting hot. There's no spurtable guy. They just have a bunch of really good players, and they're going to go on these 30-0 runs and not do anything spectacular. That is a machine at work, and it has been unbelievable to watch these last six games.
And I would love to see how they practice, because Donovan Klingon joined me last week, and I said, why do you guys not ever feel the pressure and you make it look so easy? And he goes, well, no one practices as tough as we do. Now, people have said that before, but with UConn, I actually believe that that's true, that their practices are probably so surreal that when they get on the court, the game just feels a lot easier to them.
Yeah, and then look at the bodies that are up and down that roster. I mean, would they have 5 4-star kids and Stephen Castle, who's going to be a top 5 pick in the draft? Those are the freshmen that are coming up next. And you have to go against those guys every single day. And they do a nice job of vetting who they're going to have in there. He understands who he can coach hard, and those are the guys he recruits. He does an excellent job of vetting who he's going to put in that locker room. And the fact that they push them so hard, and let's be honest, Danny's as crazy as what he is.
Yeah.
It makes for an amazing product. And I say crazy in a loving way.
Obviously, yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Dan Hurley and everything he's been able to do.
You need that in a coach, though. Like, I know he hasn't won a national championship yet, but a lot of people have started to fall in love with Dan Lanning, the head football coach at Oregon. And it's like you see him on the sideline when he gets on a football field, like that's his sanctuary, and he's just wired a different way. And there's like a football craziness that takes over. And that's what you see with Hurley. Yeah, there's some antics. You know, he's the face of the sport right now because 50 people will love him, 50 people will hate him. You know, he could be lovable, he could also be polarizing. But this dude he's going nowhere anytime soon. And to see what UConn's done the last 30 years, we know the championships that Calhoun has won, then you had the one with Kevin Ollie, and now the back-to-back. And this team was more dominant than the team a year ago after losing your top two leading scorers. It's just effusive in the praise for one Danny Hurley and what he's been able to do.
It's amazing, really. And I think the one hiccup that you ran into is when they decided to join the American Conference for God knows what reason. And then UConn getting back to the Big East. Kids want to play in the Big East. That's the fun part about recruiting these guys, is they know what they're getting into. The Big East is as back as it's ever been. And that's an easy thing to sell to, because that's a conference where the fan bases are crazy. You don't compete with football. And then you throw in the fact that, hey, there's just talent up and down that league, and it's a challenge every single night. And that's what makes it fun.
Terrence Oglesby here with us. Last year when we had you on, right after when UConn won the championship, I asked you, over under 1.5 more titles for Dan Hurley at UConn, and you took the over. Now I start to wonder just how many more he's going to win, because if he doesn't win at least one more, we'd all be shocked at this rate.
Absolutely. I think that's where we're at right now. And now he's built the brand of hard work. And he, I'm not going to say he's figured out the formula, because the formula is ever-changing. However, figuring out what kind of guys can succeed, you're going to have access right away to every top-flight recruit that you want. And let's be honest, too, every top-flight transfer that you want. I thought Cam Spencer, and people murdered me when I said this in December, I thought he was a better college player this season than Jordan Hawkins was last season. And wow. I don't take that back at all. I said that, I want to say, in December. And the reason I say that is, he as athletic as Jordan Hawkins? No. Does he have as pure as a jump shot? No. But look at his numbers up and down the line, from where he boarded, his percentages from three, his ability to attack the rim, his big-time shot-making. He's not going to be as good of a pro, but Cam Spencer, I would argue, was a better college player. So And not only that, they're big, they're strong. He's able to identify who he needs. That's why they're going to be so good. And I think they're going to continue being really good because he has access to whoever he wants at this point and the funding backing it.
Who's a team or two? Who's a program or two that you buy stock in and you say, okay, if people are going to really start to slow down UConn, this is a program with the right coach and the right history to kind of, you know, go win a championship in the next few years?
I think a national championship. I want to buy stock in Alabama, but are they going to be able to defend enough? I think Nate Oates has knocked out the portal as well as anybody could have, and I think he's going to continue doing that. He's a little bit more in NIL money, but I think he's a guy that's going to be able to carry that. You can go ahead and sleep on Arkansas if you want, but I feel like somebody made this comparison, so I don't want to take full credit for it, but it's almost like Cal. He's going to be a first-time divorcee from Kentucky. He's going to go to Arkansas. He's going to get it right, and then all of a sudden he's going to keep getting those same level of players, going to fix himself up a little bit, and they're going to be as good as ever. So there's something about Arkansas that I want to buy in. And then St. John's right down the road, Rick Pitino, doesn't have a whole lot of time left. And I feel like if not a national championship, a Big East championship might be coming sooner rather than later, because we all know we talk about lovable, crazy people. I think half the Big East fits that mold. Rick Pitino fits that mold too.
What about Duke? Are you buying into what Shire's doing? I know they get Cooper Flagg coming on in, and the expectation is supposed to be through the roof.
They're going to be much better next year, and I think they're firmly going to be in the mix. I think I want to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Zach, but I think next year is the last year of the COVID year, the extra year of eligibility. I think the power is going to return to the freshmen, and the fact that John's been able to continue to recruit the best freshmen every single year, that's going to bode well, especially after next season. But you didn't ask me about two seasons from now. You asked me about next season. I think Cooper Flagg is as good as advertised, and I think rim protection next year is not going to be an issue. It's not just Cooper Flagg. It's another couple of guys that are going to be really good there for the Blue Devils as well. I am buying John Shire. The difference between getting to the second weekend and making to a Final Four is huge. He might be able to do it next year, but there's some growing pains that come along with being a head coach, too, at that level.
Wrap it up with Terrence Oglesby. Okay, you covered the Calipari to Arkansas part of it for Kentucky. And next up for them, we know Jay Wright's going to say no. We know Dan Hurley's going to say no. I don't think it's going to be Pitino. They're going to go try to get Billy Donovan. We'll see if he will listen. The name I keep on going to, and I said this the moment that the job did open up and when we found out that it looked like Cal was going to Arkansas, was Scott Drew. Do you think Scott Drew will ultimately take the Kentucky job if he's offered it?
Something that it's impossible for me to know. However, I do think that he would be a great fit. He would be able to handle the fanfare there, and he's such a lovable guy that I think he would go in there and people would welcome him with open arms, and they would be good because he's recruited really well at Baylor. However, he is very comfortable at Baylor, and he has been able to – he just restructured his contract. Not to say they can't get out of it, but it's not nothing. Let's put it that way. I don't know where they go. It seems like the times have changed to where you don't necessarily have to look at Kentucky and be like, that is the job. Because the way things are set up and the amount of money that's been invested into these universities, you can win anywhere. Not just Kentucky, not just Duke, not just North Carolina, not just UConn. You can make certain levels of college basketball at whatever school. Look at Alabama, for example. Look at NC State this year. I mean, you can make things work at other places because the funding is there and they're going to continue to place the funding there, especially when you look at some of these bigger conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten.
Last thing I'll ask you, just give me your perspective, Terrence Oglesby, on what Caitlin Clark through the last 2 years really brought to the women's game. We all saw what the ratings were for the national championship game. I know she didn't win it, but man, there was a lot of times in March in the last 3 weeks where I was more entertained with the women's tournament. It's not just Caitlin Clark, with South Carolina, with Juju Watkins at USC, obviously what Paige Buckets has been able to do in her return and the Angel Reese and Kim Mulkey connection at LSU. There was a lot more times I was more impressed and entertained by the women's tournament than the men's this past year.
Yeah, I was not. That's okay that you were. I thought the men's game was great. I think it continues to be great. Look, what Caitlin Clark's done has brought a lot of eyeballs to the sport. I consider it two completely different sports. I don't even consider them in the same realm. They have the same lines on the floor. The games are played way differently. And I think the exposure that the women's game has gotten is awesome. It's terrific. But I think in order to talk up the women's game, I don't think you necessarily have to bring down the men's game, and it seems to be a reoccurring theme. However, I'm so happy that Caitlin Clark was able to do that. I have a daughter at home. For her to be able to see that, for her to be able to see her dominance, what she was able to do, the storylines that came along with the women's game this year, it's great for growth. And let's be honest, it's been great for ESPN, too. It's all in all, I think it's been a massive positive. There's more, what's the right word? There's more good teams now with women's college basketball because the game is growing so much. And, of course, that's a great thing.
He is Terrence Oglesby. Terrence, appreciate it. Always thank you for coming on and great coverage all throughout the basketball season.
All right. Thank you so much.
There you go. Terrence Oglesby joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I got to ask Ack a random question that's not really random, but I'm going to pretend like it's random. Just wondering. Inquiring minds want to know. How long have you been here at CBS since the inception, right?
Yes.
Now, how long have you been doing updates on just the radio?
Since I graduated college. 19, I don't want to give that day away.
20 years now.
More than that. Keep going.
But decades after decades after decades.
Yes, I'm getting older.
Rich Ackerman is a legendary update anchor.
I wouldn't go legendary, but
legendary.
Okay. All right, I'll take it.
There have been hosts in other markets that have come to the New York City studios, and they've met Ack, and they're like, I can't believe I'm meeting Rich Ackerman. Can't believe it. And I know one in particular.
They have low standards. Who's that?
Joe DeCamera.
Oh, I love Joe DeCamera.
He couldn't believe that he met the great Rich Ackerman. Ryan Hickey's parents, I think, were more excited to meet Ack than they were to actually hang out with their own son.
Well, I mean, look at the two people involved, you know. I love Mr. and Mrs. Hickey.
Yeah, they were fanboying and fangirling over you at right before a Mets game.
Okay.
Would you ever include on a national sports network?
The answer is no.
Oh, you already know what I'm going to ask.
Yes.
An update on WrestleMania?
No.
Okay. Now, there was an update anchor that did include an update on WrestleMania. We will react to that when we return. We'll do maybe an old little tribute to Tiki and Tierney. Was it inbounds or was it out of bounds? We will figure that out when we return in a few moments. On CBS Sports Radio. Here is a man that gives you award-winning updates. He gives you serious updates. And he only gives you the information that you need. He's the legendary, the sensational, the wonderful, the marvelous.
Some might say slightly better than mediocre.
You know, what Dan Hurley is to basketball is what Rich Ackerman is to sports updates.
He's got two titles. I have zero.
Just take the compliment. So just say thank you, sir. May I have another?
There you go.
He is the great Rich Ackerman. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. This portion of the show, of the extravaganza, is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. So I've seen a lot of conversation on the good old cesspool of Twitter, now called X. And the conversation has to do with Peter Schwartz, longtime update anchor, Peter Schwartz. So Peter Schwartz was doing his update, I think his update shift, on Sunday evening, and he gave an update on WrestleMania. Let's hear how it sounded.
Down to WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia, and it was time to finish the story.
Come on, Tony! Crossroads! Cover! Finished the story!
Michael Cole on WWE Network. Cody Rhodes defeats Roman Reigns to win the WWE Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship. I'm Peter Schwartz.
All righty. I wasn't expecting that. The way that it was being written about, I thought I was going to be irate about it, but I thought that was entertaining. I did. Now, you could question if WrestleMania should be in the updates. Now, that was probably Sunday night. So, what did you have Sunday night? All right, you had a very important women's national championship game, right? You had to get that in the update. South Carolina defeated Iowa. You had some baseball games going on. You maybe had some preview sound of the men's national championship game. You know, a few hockey scores. But outside of that, not like there's a ton going on. It's not like we're in the thick of football season where it's college football and the NFL, NFL and college football over and over and over again. So I'm okay with that. When I first heard about this, and that's why you always have to listen to things, I thought I was going to be livid. Now, I will say there was a time where Peter Schwartz didn't think it was like important to talk about the draft lottery for the NBA when some guy by the name of Victor Wembanyama was going to get drafted. And we were going to find out where Wemby was going to go, even though the draft wasn't that night, but it was a lottery. We all knew he was going to be number one pick. And Peter Schwartz admitted on the air that it was something along the lines of, because I remember DA and I both killed him for it. He was like, I never heard of this Wembanyama guy until like I did the update. And I was like, yeah, Peter, you can't be doing national sports updates when basketball is the second most talked about sport on the network, right? Football is one, and then it's basketball two. You got to at least know who Wembanyama is. And Peter's response to me was like, well, do you know who this lacrosse player is? He like named some lacrosse player. And I was like, no. And no one's ever going to listen to a national radio show and say, oh, Zach, tell me about this lacrosse player. And if I needed to know about him, I would. So I find that funny how Peter was like skeptical about including the draft lottery results with the Spurs. The lottery's coming up later tonight. We'll see who gets the number one pick to get Victor Wembanyama. He didn't want to do that. And he was just adamant in the response how DA and I were crazy at the time. But now we get WrestleMania updates. So Boomer and Geo on WFAN and CBS Sports Network, they played that update like we did. I have not heard this yet, but Samter, is it safe to say they were critical of Peter Schwartz?
We'll let the audio speak for itself.
Okay, that's going to make me assume. You know what happens when I assume, but I'm going to assume that they were very critical of Peter Schwartz.
All right, so WWE is scripted.
Yep.
It's not a sport.
It's not. I mean, they are athletes, and what they do is I could never do. However, the results are scripted.
It's like going to a Broadway play.
Now, I know the finale last night of Curb Your Enthusiasm, the series finale was last night. It's essentially like saying what happened at the end of that finale and putting it in the sports update. It's the same type of thing. I mean, I am not downplaying the popularity of WrestleMania. It was huge. But to put it in the update after the devil score? Come on!
It's a scripted outcome.
I mean, it should not be in the sports update. You agree?
No. Yeah, of course not.
Right. I thought it was entertaining, so I'm fine with it being in the update. The only thing I'll push back on, like if he's, and I watched the Curb Your Enthusiasm series finale. I thought it's very tough to ace a finale. Most of these are like, oh, terrible. Like the ending of The Sopranos, people didn't know if the cable box went out or if they just faded to black, right? Like that was like a big thing. I was like, oh, the power went out. Oh, wait, no. That was just how they ended the show. So it's not always great how you end a season finale. Heck, all right, Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld know that from Seinfeld. And they kind of poked fun at that in the ending of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Oh, I may have just gave it. I don't know. I don't think spoilers have... It's gone on long enough. So I apologize on
that. Yeah, it's less than 24 hours. You definitely
can't. Well, no, it's not less than 24 hours. It was on Sunday night. It's now Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's less than 48 hours.
Like, are people with WWE, like, they're watching, when I watched WWE as a kid, you watch that live on pay-per-view. Do people wait, like, several days to then include it? To watch it?
No, I mean, this update was Sunday night, and yeah. WrestleMania is 2 days.
Sure.
Yeah, WrestleMania.
But you're watching it live. So, like, I don't get the comparison that Gio was making. It would be like Kirby Enthusiasm.
So, I guess Gio made that comment yesterday after Schwartz's update Sunday. His point was Kirby Enthusiasm is entertainment, it's not a sport. It's just a pre-scripted thing for your entertainment, which is what wrestling is.
Gotcha.
Wrestling is just a pre-scripted thing for your entertainment. Mm-hmm. So giving a wrestling update is the same as giving a Curb Your Enthusiasm update.
Okay. You know who I wish still worked here? Taz. Oh, that would be fun. Because Taz, And I got along with Taz. But supposedly some others that would talk down on wrestling or say what you just said, like wrestling's entertainment, it's scripted. Taz got very annoyed at those people. There was one jolly fellow that used to work here. I don't know whatever happened to him. They may have just moved him down the hall. He used to be going by the name Miraz, I think his name was, that would poke the bear of Taz.
Never heard of him.
And Taz just isolated at Miraz and basically pretended like Miraz was dead after that. I kind of wish Taz still worked here because Taz would have had a very interesting argument with Boomer and Gio today about this.
So here's a question I have for you. What is closer to being a sport for you? Wrestling, which actually takes athletic ability, working out, physical, athleticism, all that. But it's predetermined. It's fake. It's not actual competition.
Be careful here. If you say one sport that you're going to say here, and I think you're going to say it, this may be the end of our working relationship.
Okay.
Choose wisely.
Or something like food eating.
Okay, all right. I thought you were going to go golf.
No. I was going to say or poker. Or something where it's not predetermined, where there's actual competition.
Well, food eating's not a sport.
Right.
Poker's not a sport.
So again, my point, and neither is wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, what's closer to being an actual sport? Something that actually takes physical talent and skill.
Yeah.
And
wrestling.
Wrestling, but is also fake, non-competitive, and predetermined, or something that actually is competition, that is...
But it's scripted. So here's why I think the competitive eating will actually win. Well, they may script for Joey Chestnut to win. They may make it easy for Joey Chestnut to win.
No, it's not scripted. He's just better than everyone else.
But what I'm saying is, at least you don't know what the outcome is going to be.
Correct.
In wrestling, yes, you may not be always able to predict the outcome, but they know what the outcome is going to be before that. But it does. There is a lot of physical ability
and
that
the guys
goes on.
Who are wrestling, they're not trying
and
to win or lose. They're being told whether they're going to win or lose. So I guess my point is, is sport something that is physically difficult like wrestling, or is sport something that is actually competitive where there's actual people determining the winners and losers based on their actual play?
Authentic, athletic competition.
So competitive eating is more of a sport than wrestling.
Yeah, because it's authentic.
Is poker more of a sport than wrestling?
No. No, no, no. No. Come on. Moving a bunch of chips around? No way.
What about bowling?
A bowling sport.
Okay.
Bowling's a sport.
Darts?
Darts sport.
Pool. Billiards.
Pool's a sport.
All right.
Yeah.
So we've just named like nine things that we don't talk about ever. That are more sports than wrestling.
Yes or no? You good with Peter Schwartz putting that in his update? Just yes or no?
No.
No.
I say yes. I'm with Schwartz. May the Schwartz be with you. I'm with Peter Schwartz.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.